Now, Herod killed James, and then he arrested Peter. Then there was a celebration going on for the unleavened bread. Now, this is interesting because Peter is in prison. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Embry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We are discovering the Bible, Acts chapter 12, 1 through 16. We're going to study it very carefully in just a few seconds, a few minutes. So stay there. It is a good one today. Corey and Ryan are here. Corey?
Today, I'm going to be taking a look at the two different Herod Agrippas that show up in the book of Acts. Ryan?
Well, today in Acts 13, Paul points to a few different messianic prophecies in the book of Psalms. So I want to expand on this.
All right, very good. Look forward to that. Now, Janice, what did you do?
A quote from this chapter, no small stir.
All right. So get your Bible guide out. If you don't have a Bible guide, stay there. We'll tell you how you can get yours. Open up the most important book of all the Bible. Let's turn to Acts 12. Let's listen to the Lord.
Acts 12, 1 through 16. Now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 16.
This is interesting. We continue to go through the book of Acts. It is absolutely fascinating. You know, as we study this, I'd like to remind everybody that if you look at Acts and study Acts, we understand what the church is all about. That's important. Now, there are many who do not believe in angels. The Greek word for angel means messenger, and more specifically, messenger of God. Angels are sent by God to help us build God's kingdom. In today's reading, we see that angels are still actively engaged in spiritual warfare. An angel rescues Peter from the prison because of earnest prayer made by the church. And then either the same or another angel kills Herod for not giving glory to God. It is important for us to remember that the spiritual world is just as real as the physical world. Sin has set the world ablaze and thrust us into spiritual darkness. But the Holy Spirit of God has been released to do his work through those who are truly Christ-like or Christians. Jesus Christ said, "And I will pray, and the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and me and in you." Isn't that interesting? Now, God has won the war through the work of Jesus Christ. So now we must choose which side we are on. We must believe in Jesus Christ or suffer the same fate as Herod. Now, that's important. Now, the people who are Christians or the people who are believers understand that. And we need to bring ourselves to not get caught up into pride, but bring ourselves to this place today where we understand who God is. Now, 16 verses. This is very interesting. I want to pay attention to this. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to hear you. Help us to understand you, your words. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Now, if you don't have a Bible guide, call us or write to us and ask for one. We'll send you one, or go to Bible Discovery TV, click on it, and you can get a copy for yourself. Now, I want to get right into this because this is really important. Look at verse 12, or verse 1, chapter 12, very important. "Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So, when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover." Now, this is fascinating. Herod had James killed, and Peter was arrested but held in custody until after Passover. Now, God called the church to pray for Peter. God called the church to pray for Peter. Now, think about that. Peter's in prison because of the Passover. God says to the church, he puts it on their heart, "I want you to pray for Peter." They don't know what they're doing, so they said, "Okay, we got to pray for Peter." So they start praying for Peter. That's where we go next. Watch this. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. "And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold," means take note, "an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison." There was a light. "And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' And his chains fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' So he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know that it was what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision." Verse 10, this is great. "When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and the angel departed from him." This is amazing. Now listen, Peter could not tell whether the angel was real or he was seeing a vision. This is Peter. This is Jesus' disciple, Peter, the one who walked on water. Jesus called him out. He walked on water. He also sank, but God pulled him up. There are times when God moves in a unique way in our lives, and we don't recognize it. It seems strange to us. There are times God leads me in a direction, and it just kind of seems strange. But that's God. God is leading me in a direction. Beloved, this is absolutely stunning. It's amazing. Now, I love this last passage. This is one of my favorites, okay? You're in the church, okay, and you're praying, oh, God, help Peter, help Peter, help Peter. And here's what happens. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who surname was Mark. Many were gathered together praying for him. He comes to their house. They're praying for him inside. Verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. And she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it's an angel. They didn't believe him. But look at verse 16. Now Peter continued to knock. And when they opened the door, they saw him. And they who were praying were astonished. The early church was so surprised that God answered prayer, their prayers for Peter, that they were amazed, astonished. Always pray. Always pray. God still moves and answers our prayers. God still moves and answers our prayers. You know, we need to remember that. We need to read this from time to time and keep this in our hearts. So, Father, I pray today for all of the things that are in your will, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to you, Lord, and say, help us to do your will and help your will to be done. And Father, we want to thank you in advance for accomplishing and fulfilling your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Today, I want to talk about the two Herod Agrippas that we read about in the book of Acts. The first one that we see is in Acts chapter 12, where it doesn't say that it's Herod Agrippa, it just says Herod the king. But in fact, historically, we are talking about Herod Agrippa I, who, you know, he does violence to the church in Acts chapter 12, and then he hit a record of his death is also recorded there. But another Herod pops up at the end of Acts, so take a look.
Acts chapter 12 names King Herod as responsible for the murder of James the son of Zebedee and the imprisonment of Peter. More specifically, this king was known as Herod Agrippa I to distinguish himself from his grandfather, King Herod the Great, who was ruling back during the birth of Jesus Christ. Herod Agrippa I is well remembered in history as a strong political figure. Raised in Rome, he befriended and backed two successive emperors, who rewarded him with control over territory. But Herod Agrippa is also famous for his own death. In a scene recorded both in Acts 12 and the history of Josephus, a first century Roman historian, Agrippa I is said to have met his end during a public gathering. In the Bible, Agrippa is dressed in royal robes, delivering a public address from a special throne or platform when he accepts worship from the crowd. Josephus similarly claims Agrippa was in Caesarea's theater, accepted praise as if he was a god, and then was struck with sharp pain in his stomach. Only days later, he was dead. The next Herod mentioned in Acts is Agrippa's son, called Herod Agrippa II. In Acts 25 and 26, Paul had been imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years when Agrippa II visited with his sister Bernice and was asked to hear Paul's case. Agrippa II concluded that Paul was innocent, but since Paul had appealed to the emperor, he had to travel to Rome to be given trial there. Agrippa II was also raised and educated in Rome, and though he was in charge of territory in Judea and over the temple in Jerusalem, he managed to live through the Jewish revolt of AD 66 and the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. During this time, he tried unsuccessfully to defuse the political-social tension between Rome and certain factions of the Jewish population. When the rebellion turned into full-fledged war, Agrippa II gave aid to Roman general Vespasian and his son Titus, who both ended up serving as Roman emperors. With friends in the highest of places, Agrippa II's territory was enlarged, and he was able to rule until his death in AD 93. I hope that helps organize it a little bit historically in your mind as you're reading through the book of Acts, identifying, you know, all these, the family of the Herods was vast and complicated. So this just ties up those loose ends for us here in the book of Acts, differentiating these two Herods and their relationship to one another.
Now, what's interesting is in this chapter, the last part of it, it says that this Herod, so this is verse 21. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. Okay, so he's talking to them. Mm-hmm. And the people kept shouting this, the voice of God and not of man. Mm-hmm. And then it says here, then immediately, means it happened quickly, an angel of the Lord struck him. Mm-hmm. And he was eaten by worms.
Yes.
Now, this is disgusting, and this is amazing, but it happened quickly. And this is something we need to pay attention to, because there are people today, we talk about what we've seen on the news and everything else, who say, we're like gods. I heard somebody the other day talking in the Axis of Evil about this. And if we're not careful, God still works like this. This is New Testament times.
Yeah.
So that's really important to keep in mind. Okay, just thought I'd mention that. Very interesting. Go ahead, Ryan.
All right, well, in Acts 13, Paul quotes the book of Psalms. He quotes prophecies regarding Jesus Christ, and they're from the book of Psalms. For example, in verse 33, he says, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You are my son. Today I have become your father. And in verse 34, it continues, the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. And then verse 35, so it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. And that, of course, is Psalm 16, verse 10. Now, a lot of us may not think of Psalms, you know, as a book of prophecy, but there are actually a lot of messianic prophecies within it. Take a look. Hi friends, it's Ryan Hember here, and this video is all about messianic prophecies in the book of Psalms. That is to say, predictions that were made about the coming Savior of the world. Well, it's a really exciting topic, so grab your Bible and let's go. Okay, so the book of Psalms, which is also known as the Hymn Book of Israel, is a true masterpiece orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God himself. And even though the book is poetic in form, it speaks just as clearly about the Messiah as the other Old Testament books do, and it does so with great frequency. That's why Jewish believer Arnold Fruchtenbaum summarizes the Psalms as poetic versions of the messages of the law and the prophets. The whole book of Psalms, he says, is full of profound doctrine and deep spiritual truths couched in poetic terms. I couldn't agree more. And regarding the promised Savior, the psalmist wastes little time as messianic prophecies begin as early as Psalm 2 and progress to reveal the entire messianic program, including his first coming, the interval, the second coming, and the coming messianic kingdom. And as a few examples, consider Psalms 16 and 22, which both teach that the Messiah would die and rise again. As a matter of fact, Psalm 22 gives such great detail, more than 20 specific details, regarding the terrible sufferings the Messiah would face that it could rightly be called the poetic version of Isaiah 53. And the second part of this psalm exalts the Messiah and speaks of the future establishment of his kingdom. And this, of course, presupposes the resurrection. Psalm 2 also speaks of Messiah's coming kingdom, foreseeing his rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. Psalm 80 centers around Israel during the interval period and ends with the anticipation of the second coming and the national salvation of Israel. And how do we know that this is during the interval? Well, notice that the Son in verse 15 is at the right hand of God in verse 17, having already been raised up. And Psalm 110, even though it's only 7 verses long, prophesies of the entire messianic sequence. But just who is this Messiah? Well, significantly, there's only one person in all of human history to whom all of these details can be ascribed, and that is none other than Jesus of Nazareth. As the 18th century English theologian John Gill put it, they cannot with any tolerable color or pretense be applied to any other. As Jesus himself said in Luke 24:44, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." All right, so that was just a bit of a quick overview of some of the messianic prophecies in the book of Psalms. Now, I encourage you to check out my full video on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Ryan Hembree, or you can check it out on the website, BibleDiscoveryTV.com, because in that version, it's an uncut version with many more. So I hope that you'll check it out.
So just quickly, the YouTube channel, Corey Babechko is one channel. Ryan Hembree is another channel. And our channel is Pastor Rod and Janice Hembree, or Pastor Rod Hembree. So that's how you can get a hold of all of this other material, unrestricted by time. So that's important to remember.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, Janice, you're up.
Well, I love the Bible for so many reasons. But one of the ways that I really love it is sometimes things are so understated in some of the events that go on. This chapter of Acts is one of my favorite, not just because of Peter's situation in prison and the way that all unfolded with the angel basically telling him, get up, get your clothes on, get your sandals on, and following through. And Peter didn't even know if he was dreaming. He didn't know if it was real. And then the Bible says when he came to himself and he realized what had happened, he goes to Mary's house, the mother of John, where many in the church were gathered there praying for Peter because they had seen that Herod had killed James. And then because the Jews were so impressed by that, Herod decided to arrest Peter, and he was holding him in prison because it was the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so when that was over, it says here in verse 4 of chapter 12, Herod intended to bring him, Peter, before the people after Passover. This was Herod's plan. Didn't turn out. Peter was released. He goes to the house where many in the church were praying for him, constantly praying for him, probably praying for his safety, praying for his release, praying that Herod wouldn't kill him, praying, praying, praying. And meanwhile, he comes to the door, and we know the story. Rhoda goes to answer, and she hears Peter's voice, recognizes it. She's so excited and happy that it's Peter. She runs back to tell them that Peter's standing at the door, and they're saying, you're wrong. It can't be him. You're beside yourself. And she's like, no, really. And so this whole scene is just so amazing how it all plays out. There are so many lessons here for the church and for us to learn. And at the end of it all, after we see that Herod had killed James, we see him arrest Peter, and we see the church gathering together to pray, and that God did a miracle and released Peter. And then he went to the house, and so many of them listened to him. He said, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then, as soon as it was day, this is what I love. As soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. Can you imagine? There were these squadrons of prisoner guards that were to guard the prison. And somehow this man got out. And even the gate, as the angel is leading Peter out, when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. It's like I remember watching cartoons when I was little, and there was one cartoon that would always say, open sesame. And I remember standing as a little girl in front of the doors and saying, open sesame. But it never worked, Rod. It never worked. But here we see how that Peter was following the angel of the Lord, and God does these miracles. He makes things happen that we don't see. We can't do on our own, but God does them. I'm digressing now with the open sesame, but you understand what I'm trying to say. This plan, this was a big stir. This was miracles that happened. And we see that it was God's plan. James was killed. Herod succeeded with that. And somehow that was in the plan of God. It was James' call to come home. Peter was arrested and the church thought he was a goner, because Herod was just waiting until Passover was over to kill Peter. But that was not God's intent. And God released him and showed that miracle to an unbelieving early church at that time. Talk about the encouragement and faith building and encouragement to be persistent in prayer and to see that God works miracles. We serve the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is still working miracles in our world. Maybe we don't see them, but a lot of us do in our own personal lives, but he's doing wonderful things around the world. God's plans are above the plans of man. We see that through Herod. We see that in some of the own things that we decide. We may have plans, but it's God who has the final say.